Blog Talk Radio.
Many people say they believe the Bible, but they do not believe in who the Israelites are according to biblical prophecies and biblical history. These same people who claim to believe the Bible believe it according to their own hearts, which is based on the worldview and personal interpretation. In this episode, we are going to examine some of the biblical prophecies to see which people on this earth fit the Bible's description of the Israelites and what they need to do to obtain salvation. We welcome you to join us. That is, if you can handle the truth.
All right, shalom, everybody. Most high in the name of Christ bless you. We thank you for tuning in to another episode of our show. My name is Hasha Yod, and with me is my brother.
Yo, Yod, shalom, brothers and sisters.
And speaking of history, we know that a lot of things in history, you know, for those of us who's been around, especially back in the old school, that was the main focus of what we used to learn was history. And I know when I first came into this understanding that the people that were brought here in slavery are descendants of the Israelites, one of the things I did when that train of thought first came in my head, I automatically started hitting the books. I remember the brother who told me, this was years back in 93, this brother I was in the military with from the Bronx, give you a little quick story, called me up, and he was like, yo, brother, you got a Bible? I was like, yeah, I got a Bible. So, you know, I went and got my Bible, and he started showing me things in the Bible I couldn't believe. I was like, wow. You know, he was showing me all these scriptures. We must have spent a few hours, man. He was showing me scriptures. And then he sent me about 5 audio tapes, and I started listening to the tapes, and everything the brothers were saying on the tapes, I was finding in the scriptures. And, you know, brothers are basically going into history. It was saying that the people, the ruling class family on the earth were the Edomites, and that we were the descendants of Israel. So I started checking these things out. You know, I went to visit him one time. He lived in the Bronx. I went to visit him. And he had a book of early Russian icons showing Christ as black and all types of pictures of Israelites as being, you know, dark-skinned people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I said, you know, all the things these brothers were saying in the scriptures was there, but how do I know if I go back to Genesis and I read to this point that these things, that the understanding they're giving was the same understanding? So I started reading, started getting various books, you know, and, you know, researching this thing. And one thing I realized when I started getting into the different books that were out there and trying to pinpoint, you know, the origins of certain nations. Like, for example, this world that we live in is considered a Greco-Roman world. The people, the empire that came and set up America came from Great Britain. And when you look up Great Britain, it derived out of the Roman Empire. And so, you know, being that this world derived from the Greco-Roman world, I tried to do a little research. I went into some research in the Greek and Roman world. And one of the things I was finding out as I was doing my research, you know, for the Greeks, an example, I found books of ancient Greece, and I was finding a lot of dark people that were ruling ancient Greece from the artifacts that they found. And some artifacts had it mixed with dark people and Caucasian colored people. And it never said where the Edomites or the Caucasian people came, how they went about to come into power. And even when you read, like, on the Romans, I read up on the Roman Empire and the origins of the Roman Empire, how it started, to try to link it back up to the Bible. And one of the things you find about the Roman Empire, where they would say that it came from two twins that was raised by a female wolf. And I read this a long time ago. I don't even remember the name. I think of Remus and Romulus or something to that effect, that they were raised by a female wolf raised them. And they were the founders of the Roman Empire, which is all lies. And so the only book that I found that gave some type of substance to how the children of Esau, or the Edomites, got into that area of Rome and Greece and all that was the Bible. The Book of Japhet. The Book of Japhet, which I don't really, we don't really deal with the Book of Japhet, but it gave some history on how they migrated down there and how they mingled among the Japhetic people and later on came into power. But I want to start. Let's read Jeremiah 16, verse 19, real quick. You know, because there's a lot of different versions of history out there also. That's why the Bible is really the main source if you really want to get some understanding on what's going on in this world. Jeremiah 16 and 19.
Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 19. And it reads, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, in my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, Surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit.
So that's the thing. The scriptures are letting us know that there's going to come a time where it's going to be admitted that our fathers, or all nations, are going to admit that we have inherited lies. And that's what's going on right now. There's lies out there. For them to say that the Roman Empire derived from two boys that were raised by a female wolf is a straight up lie. You know, and then some of the scriptures we're going to examine, they're talking about, you know, we say that we are Israelites, and you hear people making all types of comments and statements because they haven't heard it lies. They don't know the true history of what took place on this earth. Because the Bible, for example, I'll give you one scripture where it speaks about, look, give me 2 Ezra, the 6th chapter, where it talks about the people that's going to rule the earth right now and the people that's next in line to rule. It's very clear. You know, the Bible tells you that the world that we're in, that came out of the Greco-Roman world, was ruled by a people in the Bible known as the Edomites. It tells you in the book of Maccabees when they were fighting against the Greeks that they will say, let's prepare for war against the children of Esau. You know, it'll tell you that. It'll tell you that the Greek Empire derived from the Edomites. And there's books that you can get out there that will tell you that the Roman Empire derived from Edomites. Read that for me in 2 Ezra 6th chapter.
Verse what, 9?
Start at verse 7.
2 Ezra chapter 6, verse 7. Then answered I and said, what shall be the parting asunder of the times? Or when shall be the end of the first and the beginning of it that followeth?
So Ezra's asking the angel, when is going to be the end of this world right here and the beginning of it to follow it, meaning the next world?
And he said unto me, from Abraham unto Isaac, when Jacob and Esau were born of him, Jacob's hand held first the heel of Esau. For Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning of it that follows.
So Esau is the end of this world. The people that's going to rule to the end of this world that we're in right now, the Bible is telling us, are descendants of Esau, the Edomites.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why I'm going through this. Later on, you'll get an understanding. But that's one of the things that's being lied to us about. Hold that for me. I want to read a little more on that. But get Genesis 27 for me real quick. I just want to lay a quick foundation. Because when you look up, if you go into the Bible dictionary and you look up Esau or the Edomites, it'll say that they're no longer in existence. But we read right here in the Bible, it says that Esau is the end of this world, so the Edomites are going to rule this world to the end. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read a scripture here where Isaac told Esau that he was going to get the dominion. Read Genesis 27, start at verse 37.
Genesis chapter 27, verse 37. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants.
So the blessing that Jacob received, or Jacob is turned to Israel, that he was the Lord. He was the ruler and the prince of this world. Right? Go ahead.
And with corn and with wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. and by thy sword shalt thou live, and shall serve thy brother.
So he's telling Esau that he's gonna have rulership. Thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew above, and by the sword shall thou live. Mean his military. By his military, he's gonna live. Read on.
And shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck.
So that happened. When you read in the Old Testament, the book of Kings, Esau rose up, and Jacob, which is Israel, went down. They fell down, and they went into captivity. As we're going to read on, as we go on in the show, we're going to read that Israel went down and fell into captivity.
Mm-hmm.
But Esau got the dominion. That's why when you read, go back to, read that for me again, Ezra, read verse 8 and 9.
2 Ezra chapter 6, verse 8. And he said unto me, from Abraham unto Isaac, when Jacob and Esau were born of him, Jacob's hand held first the heel of Esau. For Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning of it that follows.
So Jacob has the next world, starting with Christ. Christ is Jacob. Christ is Israel. The 148,000. 144. Yeah, sorry about that. 144,000.
Mm-hmm.
12,000 from each tribe.
Mm-hmm.
They have the next rule. But Esau is going to be thrown down by the Heavenly Father. Let's read that, brother. Give me Obadiah 21. A couple more scriptures. We're gonna pick back up where we left off last week. But I want to lay a little foundation and make sure everybody get an understanding on what's going on in the world. Who's ruling?
Obadiah, verse 21. And Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau.
And Savior shall come. That's when Christ returns with the holy angels. They're going to come up to what? To judge the Mount, mean the government of Esau. Because that's who's ruling, as we read. Esau is going to rule to the end of this world. Those are the people that are ruling this world right now. Right, read that again.
Obadiah, verse 21. And Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's.
All right, now get me Acts 1, verse 6, because when Christ came and died for the sins of Israel, the Israelites at that time thought, they understood that Esau had to rule, and Esau was ruling under the Roman Empire. But they were looking...
Okay.
They were looking for the kingdom then. And what's the kingdom? The kingdom is this earth. They were looking to get rulership back of this earth at that time. So read that in Acts 1 and 6.
Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?
The kingdom to Israel. So they asked Christ, are you going to restore this world back to us now? The prophecy's been fulfilled. Esau been ruling under the Roman Empire. So is it now time? But they were wrong, because what did Christ tell them? Did Christ tell them that the kingdom ain't for Israel no more? Or what did Christ say? Read on.
And it reads, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power.
Yeah, it wasn't time yet, because there was still a lot more prophecies that had to be fulfilled. Israel had to fall. They had to go into darkness. They had to go into captivity and be punished for the sins that they committed against the Most High, according to what's written.
Mm-hmm.
So these things have to take place. But everybody now, they're picking up the Bible, but yet they're still in darkness and the understanding of what's taking place in this earth and what we need to do to get back right with the Heavenly Father in Christ. So before we get in there, I want one more scripture I want to read. Read for me. Give me Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28 and start at verse 45.
Deuteronomy 28 and 45. And it reads, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee.
So the Most High told us, he gave us the commandments. It wasn't given to us unconditionally. He said, if we kept them, we'll be blessed. If we didn't keep them, that these curses will come upon us and pursue us and overtake us. Read on.
And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever.
So these curses are supposed to be on our children. They shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder. So we're supposed to be able to read these curses and look at our people and see that these things are happening to us because of our disobedience and our breaking the commandments of the Heavenly Father. That's what we got to deal with.
Yeah, I want to say, just like Godiah when he brought out the information and the information on the show that he did, you know what I'm saying, on Saturday morning. It was Saturday morning, right? Saturday morning.
Yeah.
He brought the show, and he also was talking about, you know, the captivity that Israel was put under, the slavery we were put under. Now, was it because the nations just had power and took over? That wasn't the case. It wasn't because, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't because they just popped up one day and said, you know what? Let's go against the children of Israel and let's just take over, and then they won. That wasn't the case. There was a reason why Israel went into captivity. So I just want to read the scripture over here. We usually always go to this verse when we deal with this. I'm going to go to this verse now. This is Deuteronomy 28:15, and then we'll go back and read that again. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
Exactly.
So it's showing you that because we disobeyed the Most High, you know, direct order, you know what I mean, his commandments and his statutes, that this is the reason why these curses even came about. This is the reason why we even face captivity and slavery in the first place.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to bring that out there.
And it's part of the reason why we in darkness right now and don't understand the simple things.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reason why we have to wrestle with each other. We got to wrestle with brothers and sisters to understand who we are as a people and what we need to do. And the majority of our people are just falling into following the course of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking what they see before their eyes and what's going on in this world is where it's at, and it's what's happening.
And this is why the curses are staying. You know, when you look at the news today, and you look when you go down the street, you know, when you get up and go to work, just whatever the case may be, you see that these curses are all over our people. There's nothing but crime, you know, nothing but selling drugs and murder. You know what I mean? And it's just a bunch of foolishness out here on the corners of these streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you wonder why these curses are even here in the first place. You wonder why AIDS is here, you know, different diseases. Why? Because we're still under these curses today.
Exactly.
Until you repent and turn back to the Lord, and then these curses shall be lifted off of you. Okay.
Okay. Let's pick up where we left off last week in Luke.
Luke 1?
Yeah, Luke 1:68.
All right.
Because part of the thing, when you look at last week, we was going over how it said God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you was bringing out the point that the world is talking about the world of Israel that was scattered among all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
And we went into Luke to kind of make that point, but I want to start back up in there again. Let's go to...
Start at verse 68. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
So now, it says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. So, his people is talking about a possessive noun. It's talking about a particular people, not all people on the earth, but his people.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, because Christ came through the lineage of King David,
mm-hmm.
as it was prophesied by the mouth of the prophets. All right, read on.
Verse 70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. All
right, stop. So the scripture is telling us that we should be saved from our enemies. So one thing we have to get understanding when we look at the scripture, this scripture here, we're going to kind of base a lot of the show on this scripture right here. Because one thing we have to look at when it talks about we shall be saved from our enemies, that's not something that happened right away. That's not something that happened right then and there. It happened the Most High redeemed us from our sins through Christ, but we weren't delivered at that time. And to get some understanding of that, let's go to Luke, the 21st chapter. Because Christ told us that we still had to go into captivity. Luke 21, start at verse 20, brother.
All right, Luke chapter 21, verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh.
So Christ was telling the Israelites that there was going to come a time when Jerusalem was going to be compassed about with armies.
Mm-hmm.
When did that take place? In 70 AD, General Vespasian sieged Jerusalem. He surrounded the city, cut off the food supply.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't let no food come in, wouldn't let nothing come in, nothing go out.
Exactly.
And then he had to leave the siege personally to go capture Rome because the emperor at that time died, and there was a couple other individuals that was fighting to take over Rome. So when he came back and took over the throne of Rome and became the emperor, he sent his son Titus to destroy Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's recorded in the book of Josephus on what took place in that battle, on how many Israelites were killed. They killed so many Israelites, the Romans got tired of killing.
Mm-hmm.
They also brought a lot of Israelites into Egypt to work in mines, you know. There's a lot of history on that, man, and people, like we said, obviously are not reading history and obviously are not dealing with the scriptures, because the scriptures would tell you clearly that the people that's being portrayed as the Israelites in this world do not fit the biblical prophecies of the Israelites, right? Because what happened when after that time, I don't recall the exact year, but the Israelites made a campaign again and took Jerusalem back and set up the Sanhedrin. And then they began to get strong. They decided they were going to revenge themselves on the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire began to slaughter Israel wherever they were found. They were trying to wipe out the whole nation. And that's when they began their migration down to the west coast of Africa, where they later on set up the kingdom of Ghana, the kingdom of Songhai, which you can do research on. But anyway, let's read on in that verse 21.
Luke chapter 21, verse 21. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains.
See, he's telling the Israelites to leave Jerusalem. You know?
And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereto.
So if you're in the neighboring countries, don't come back home in this time, this particular time of history. All right, read on.
Verse 22. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled.
See, that all things which are written may be fulfilled, because it was written that if the Israelites broke the commandments of the Heavenly Father, that they had to go into captivity. They had to be discontinued of their heritage. All right, read on, brother.
Verse 23. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. Keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
So the scripture said that. Hold on, give me one second.
Mm-hmm.
And it said they shall be led away captive into all nations. So, according to the prophecies here that Christ gave us, the Israelites were going into captivity among the other nations, right?
Yeah, they would be trodden down by the other nations.
All right. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. I mean, the people that were going to be in Jerusalem were going to be the Gentiles, right?
Yeah.
The other, Gentiles mean nations, the other nations other than Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So the Gentiles had a certain period of time when they were going to be ruling. You know, they were going to be ruling and they were going to be trotting down our land in Jerusalem, according to this prophecy right we read. So do we have record of so-called people of Caucasian descent being in captivity? And, you know, when we look at this world right now, how often do we find records of a bunch of people of Caucasian descent being in captivity and in slavery? Or do we find them as being ruling class people?
Yeah, we find them as what you said, the latter part.
So something here isn't fitting. There's lies here. Something isn't fitting.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to another scripture and look at some about this captivity. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. We're going to hit a couple of scriptures about that. Then we're going to go back to Luke 68. You know, you got anything, just bring it out, brother.
Man.
Ezekiel 36, start at verse 5, yeah.
Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 5. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Idumea, which have put my land into their possession.
So now the scripture is saying that Idumea, which when you look up Idumea, it brings you back to Esau and Edom, that they have appointed the land into their possession.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible is telling us what happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right, read on.
With the joy of all their heart, with the spiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy, therefore, concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up my hand, surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come.
So the Bible is prophesying again that the children of Israel are going to be brought back to their land.
That's right.
But the heathens that are about Israel are going to bear their shame. I mean, they're going to pay for what they did. They're going to pay. But Israel, the Israelites, let's go. Matter of fact, I want to get one more scripture on that. Try to paint a clearer picture of what took place. Go to Isaiah 49. Let's read Isaiah 49 real quick. Okay. Isaiah 49, start at verse 18, brother.
Isaiah chapter 49, verse 18. Lift up thy eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with the ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth.
So now again, it's talking about these different nations coming to the land, coming to Jerusalem. And the Most High said, you're going to tell them the land that you're going to clothe yourself with all these different nations that's coming over there. And we see different nations. We see Gentiles over there right now fighting for the land.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible is going along with what we see. The prophecies is going along with what we see. All right, you know?
For thy waste and thy desolate places.
So the city, remember we read in Luke the first chapter, Luke the 21st chapter, how it said that the city would be made desolate?
Mm-hmm.
I believe 21 and 20 talk about the Christ told us that it was the desolation thereof is nigh.
Mm-hmm.
So now the Most High is saying in verse 19, read that for me again.
For thy waste and thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away.
So check that out. It says, for thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even be now too narrow by reason of the inhabitants. So the land is going to be too narrow by the reason of the inhabitants. That means there's going to be a lot of people in that land.
Mm-hmm.
And the land is too narrow for them because they're fighting for place. They're fighting over a lot over territory now. They're dividing the land by lot, saying this part belongs to the Palestinians, this part over here belongs to the Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. Meaning the Israelites that were destroying the land when they were there, they were going to be far away from that land. So the Most High had to remove them out of that. The Most High removed them out of that land. Matter of fact, hold that right there. Go to Leviticus real quick.
You going back to this?
I'm going to go back to that. There's a lot more I want to pull out on that. Well, I want to make a point on why the Most High had to remove us out of that land. And a lot of people claim that, you know, because Israel didn't accept Christ, that the Most High did away with them as being his people. And this scripture right here tells you that that's not so. Leviticus 26, start at 43 for me, and then we'll go back. You know, I like to jump around a lot, though.
Leviticus chapter 26, verse 43. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity.
See, while the land lies desolate, they shall enjoy her Sabbath. Because what were they doing when they were in that land? Were they honoring the Most High? They were defiling the Most High Sabbath.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were defiling the Most. And what are they doing today? Are they repenting from that?
No, they're still defiling it.
They're still defiling the Most High Sabbath. Okay. All right, we don't.
Because even because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhor my statutes. And yet, for all that.
Wait a minute. They despise the Most High's judgment, and their soul abhor the Most High's statutes, meaning his law.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, people have. Our people are under the impression that. That they don't have to love the Most High's commandments no more. You have to keep we have to turn back to the Most High's commandments.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way around it. We have to take back up the Most High's commandments. It's going to tell you that. All right, you done?
Where we at? Verse 44?
Mm-hmm.
And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away.
So hold up. I thought they said, people said that the Most High cast the Israelites away now. But the scripture said, when they be in the land of their enemies, he will not cast us away. All right, you know?
Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them.
So he will not abhor us, mean hate us, to destroy us utterly, to break his covenant. The covenant is still here. The covenant is through Christ right now.
Mm-hmm.
Through Christ permanently. Right, yeah.
For I am the Lord their God. But I will for their sakes remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt, in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord.
Alright, so he's talking about the same people that came out of Egypt, and the Most High didn't forget the covenant with us, even though we're in the land of our enemies, and we have not been delivered yet. We're waiting on the deliverance, but what we need to do before we can obtain the deliverance is repent in Christ and turn back to the commandments. We're going to read all that. And that's when this world is going to come to its end. All right. Go back to where we was at in Isaiah 49 and Isaiah 49 and read verse 19 for me again.
Isaiah 49:19. For thy waste and thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction, shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shall have after thou hast lost the other.
So the scripture is showing you that the land of Israel is going to get new people in that land. It says the children thou shall have after thou lost the other.
Shall say again in thy ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell.
Give place to me that I may dwell, because they fighting over land.
Mm-hmm.
They fighting over the land. All right, you know?
Then shalt thou say in thy heart, who have begotten me these?
So it's talking to the land again. The land's going to say, where are these people that I have with me, these people that's in here in this land fighting for land, how did I get these people? Who has begotten me these? Read.
See, I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro. And who have brought up these?
Who have brought up these? Mean us. Mm-hmm. Who's bringing us up? Where we at? We in the land of our enemies. Where we been at? That's what the scripture's showing us here, that the land is asking the question: who has brought up these? Behold,
I was left alone. These, where have they been?
These, where have they been? They went into captivity in the land of their enemies. There we go.
Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And the kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and the queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face towards the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me.
And they shall not be ashamed that wait for me, but waiting on the Lord is dealing with us, getting ourselves right, repenting for the sins that we have committed against the Most High, turning back to his commandments, repenting in Christ, putting on Christ, following the examples that Christ taught us. And we shall not be ashamed. And we're going to return back home. And Israel is scattered among all nations. But the Most High say he's going to gather us back up out of every nation and set us back up in our homeland. Mm-hmm. But the people that are in that land right now, that we have so-called Christians saying they the Jews, they're supposed to be believing the Bible, and they saying that these people are the Jews, and the average person on this earth believe that they are the Jews, which they converted to Judaism out of the Khazar Empire. These are not the biblical Jews. And the majority of them don't even believe in Christ as being the Lord and Savior. And we have, when we speak of these things, you know, we hear people in the chat room try to make comments. People call up and try to make comments that we don't know what we're talking about. But yet these people don't know no history, no biblical history, and have no understanding, but they're going by the lies that this world put out. You know, they're going by lies that's being put out in this world, and they're basically following the world. So the scripture said, I want to address something. It says, these, where have they been? All right, let's go to, before I go there, let's go back to Luke. I want to make a point out of Luke 1, Luke 1:48.
Luke chapter 1, verse 48. 68, you mean? Or 48? Go to 48?
Yeah, you're right, 68.
So there's a point in 68?
You know what, before you read that, let's go to, go to Book of Micah. Go to Book of Micah, I want to go there. Sorry about that, just go to Micah. Let's get Micah the 4th chapter. And while you get that, I'm going to read this real quick. I'm going to read 168 on down again. It says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we, meaning Israel, should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. And one of the points was making that is that that deliverance did not happen at that particular time, because we read in Luke 21 that Israel had to be scattered and had to go into captivity for their disobedience. The land had to be made desolate according to biblical prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
So here in Micah is going to give us an understanding on when that deliverance from the hands of our enemies is supposed to take place. So read that for me, brother, please. Micah 4 and 10.
Micah chapter 4, verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city.
So we read when Christ told us to flee to the mountains. We read that Jerusalem was surrounded by the Roman army. And the people they were catching trying to leave the city, they was hanging them on crosses. They crucified thousands of Israelites on crosses as they tried to leave the city. So the scripture is telling us here that we were going to leave the city. And the scattering of Israel started way before that. The scattering of Israel started way before the Edomites, way before the Babylonians. So it said, we shall leave the city and we shall dwell in the field. The main place, as we mentioned earlier, was in West Africa. And we was also in places of Europe, different parts of Europe. So read that again for me, brother.
Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field. And thou shalt go even to Babylon.
So now, even though we was in West Africa and scattered in different parts of the world, the scriptures prophesied that we were going to leave the city, dwell in the field, and that we were even going to go to Babylon. And the scriptures prophesied of an empire that would be ruling in the last days, known as Babylon the Great. So right here, Micah is letting us know through the Holy Spirit that we were going to go into captivity in Babylon. All right, read on.
There shall thou be delivered.
So where are we going to be delivered?
There shall thou be delivered, Babylon.
All right, read on.
There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thy enemies.
So we had to go into captivity, and we weren't delivered at that time, but the scripture is telling us there, in Babylon, shall thou be delivered. There, in Babylon, the Lord shall redeem thee from the hands of thy enemies. And me and one of the brothers was talking about this Babylon, because the world we're in right now is ruled. I know a lot of people hear of the Illuminati and secret societies and things of that nature. Well, the world is being ruled by secret societies like the Trilateral Commission. And America basically is being used as a military, being used as their military might. But where is the ruling power at? Israel scattered in captivity. Israel went in captivity under the America. Israel went in captivity in Great Britain, Europe. Israel was in captivity in the different islands of the Caribbean.
Yeah, all the Americas.
You know, so is France, we got brothers putting in some air, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Israel went captivity all over the place. Russia. So the Most High said he's going to deliver us from the hand of our enemies.
But just like the scriptures tell us that we're going to be in the four corners of the earth anyway.
Yeah.
So in all these different places that we're going to be at.
And what we need to do in order to partake of that deliverance, we're going to want to tap into that. And in fact, you want to take the break now? You got something you're going to bring?
I'll wait. Go ahead.
All right, we'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break, run to a couple promos, and we'll be back.
Yo, how long these devils think they're going to escape, man? Go on and expose them. Reverends doing witchcraft and abominations. They say they're of the Lord, but they're the friends of Satan. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We got devils walking around with human faces. Divining witches and psychics will bring a curse. But what's worse is cats is teaching this up in the church. Filthy lies and blasphemy is what it is. The Most High said he would not suffer a witch to live. So we examine and reprove all these sinful demons. Now get your Bibles out, cause it's repentance season. Submit yourselves to the will of the Most High might. Open your eyes and turn from darkness to the light. Tune in to From Darkness to Light on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC, Wednesdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Repent from witchcraft and the occult. Shalom.
The brothers from the Body of Christ Church welcome you to listen to our show, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor?, airing every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. In these difficult times, we often look to spiritual leaders for guidance and instruction in our lives. As Christians, followers of Christ, should these leaders speak from their mind or from what is written based on the Word of God? This show will examine things said by men and women claiming to be God's ministers to reveal whether or not they are speaking God's Word and doing His will. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We hope you tune in and listen to our show. Thank you.
Body of Christ Church, inviting you to listen to our program, Repentance is the Key, where we examine repentance according to the Holy Bible and the teachings of Jesus Christ. The show airs every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So remember the words written in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Jah gave Moses 10 commandments upon 2 tablets of stone. Led Israel out of Egypt and then promised them a home. Samson slew the Philistines with a donkey jawbone.
The Body of Christ Church cordially invites you to listen to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. This show will air every Thursday on Blog Talk Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far fixed, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you join us, and may you be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
All right, shalom everybody, welcome back. That was a new show every Thursday night. The brother Kakum Gabbar, who hosts the show on Tuesdays, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor, is hosting the show. It's Time to Wake Up every Thursday, so hope you tune in. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off at, what we read. Look, read on Micah one more time, Micah 4 and 10.
Micah chapter 4, verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thy enemies.
All right, now give me Deuteronomy the 30th. Deuteronomy 30 and 1.
Actually, you know what? No, I'll wait till you get that. Yeah, Deuteronomy 30. I know where you're going.
Okay, all right. So the Lord said, in Babylon, we're going to be delivered and redeemed from the hands of our enemies,
mm-hmm.
which is referring to the second coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But in order for us to partake in that deliverance and not partake in the judgment that's going to come with that deliverance, because we read earlier in Obadiah 21, it says, Savior shall come to judge the Mount of Esau, or that government, ruling government of Babylon, which is going to be ruled by Esau. If we don't want to partake of the judgment, we want to partake of the deliverance, there's something very important that we need to do. This is Deuteronomy 30, read verse 1 for me.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God have driven thee.
So Moses is telling the Israelites here that this is going to happen. All the blessings I set before you about you being a great nation and being rich and powerful, it happened. It happened under King David, King Solomon. Then he said the curses are going to happen also, meaning that we were going to fall and we were going to be led into captivity and we were going to be punished for our disobedience, for our sins against the commandments of the Most High. He said these things were going to happen. It says, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God has driven thee. And that's what we're doing. We're calling these things to mind.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember what happened to our nation. We fell for disobedience, and now we got to come back to the Most High. Now we have to repent, and he sent his son here to show us an example on how to keep his commandments. Show us an example on how we're supposed to deal with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Show us that it can be done. Because he came in the flesh just like us. All right, Rihanna?
Verse 2. And shall return unto the Lord thy God.
And shall return. Not keep doing what you're doing and just believe in Christ, but and shall return.
Mm-hmm.
Read that again.
And shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
So he's talking to the grown-ups there. He said, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day. I mean, we return back to these commandments. Obey the Most High's voice, mean doing the things he say. We have to put away the idolatry, put away the adultery, put away the fornication, put away all the witchcraft, put away the hatred, the vengeance, and put on Christ. Hold that for me. Give me a quick scripture, and we'll come right back. Give me Isaiah 10 and 20 real quick. Because our people don't want to return back to the Most High. They want to stay on the philosophies of this world. They want to stay on the philosophy of Babylon. They want to accept whatever Babylon says, okay, homosexuality, oh, that's okay, that's good. Okay, we take that. We can party and work on the Sabbath and do what we want to do. Okay, we'll do that. We can continue in our sins and just believe in Christ. Oh, that sounds like that'll work. All right, read that for me.
Isaiah 10 and 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them.
See, stay upon him that smote them. How is our people staying upon him that smote them? Meaning the people that enslaved you, killed you, murdered you all over this country. How are you staying upon him? You're staying upon him because you're staying upon their philosophies. You're staying upon the democracy. You're holding on to their traditions. And you don't want to come back to the commandments of the Most High. You don't want that. You want to stay on Christianity, Sunday worship. You want to stay on Christmas, Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day, and New Year's. That's what you want to stay on. But you don't want to come back to the commandments of the Most High. Come back to his high holy days. Come back to his nation.
Exactly.
And put on Christ. You don't want to do that. You're having a good time here in Babylon. You want to stay upon him that smoked you. You want to stay upon the philosophies of Babylon. Go ahead, read on, brother.
But I'm going to read it all over again. Isaiah 10 and 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay up on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth.
So a remnant, meaning a small percent, is going to return to the Most High and stay upon the Lord. They're going to come back to the words of the Most High. They're going to come back to the words of Christ. A remnant is going to return. That's why you see so many people are speaking against the scriptures and speaking against Christ, because they're not returning. A majority of them ain't gonna return. That's why so many women staying up. They want to stay up on Egyptology. They want to stay up on some garbage about Kittim and the Babylonians. The Babylonians are going down, man. The Babylonians are they gotta pay too. They tell you in the book of Obadiah. That as thou hast drunk upon my holy mountain, all nations shall drink continually. All nations are going to pay. All right, we done?
The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return.
See, so though Israel, even though there's millions of us, you know, a lot of us don't even know who we are. Through race mixing, like we said before, we a lot of blacks in America don't even know beyond a shadow of a doubt of who they're descended of. Not to mention the small time we've been in America, but the long we've been in Africa way longer. How much race mixing was among the African tribes? So the only way we know that we Israel is by the Most High Christ opening up our minds and blessing us with the understanding of His Word. So it doesn't really matter what you look like. If your mind is open up to receive the doctrine of Christ, then you an Israelite. You can't prove your genealogy. That's why we don't deal with genealogy. The scriptures tell us in the book of Daniel, the ninth chapter, that to us belong confusion of faces. Even though we can pull history, because the scriptures does give some history on the Israelites being brought to Babylon in slavery, but to pinpoint each individual, you can't pinpoint each individual. You just got to go by faith and the words of Christ, that he was going to open up our minds to this gospel. He was going to open up the elect and bring the elect back into the knowledge so they could receive the salvation. Right, is that it on that?
I'm going to finish verse 22. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness.
Yeah, even though there's millions of us, a small percent is going to return back to this Bible, going to put on Christ and follow the steps of Christ, and is going to repent. That's what it's talking about, Deuteronomy 30. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 30. Mm-hmm. 30 and 2. Where we left off at.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 2. And shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
See, so we're supposed to teach our children, because we do have Israelite brothers out there teaching, and they don't want, they say their children are going to be saved through them. But the scriptures say that we're supposed to teach our children. It says, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So it's not only us returning, but we're supposed to teach our children, our wives. We're returning back to the Most High as a family and as a nation. All right, we done?
Verse 3. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whether the Lord thy God has scattered thee.
So that's the key. That's the remedy. That's why brothers like the show, the brother had on Fridays. Repentance is the key, man.
Mm-hmm.
So once we repent, we can partake of that deliverance, man. That then the Lord thy God shall have compassion upon thee. When we start to walk righteously in righteousness as his son taught us how to walk, then he's going to have compassion upon us. Read 3 again for me, brother, please.
Now then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. You going?
Mm-hmm.
If any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of the heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers.
So it's showing you that it's descendants of that same people, because a lot of people try to say it's not this, that those people are done away with, it's a spiritual Israel, then why are the scriptures talking about in the land of thy fathers? Showing you that it's still the descendant, it's still the children of those same people are going to, the Most High is going to have compassion on them. That's why when we read Luke, the first chapter, he said, as he spake by the mouth of all his prophets, that we should be saved. And that's why it's talking about Christ. And the reason I'm going through this is because, like the brother was saying, that God so loved the world. The world that's talking about is Israel. Israel scattered among all nations. And he sent his son to die for those people that were scattered among all nations. So when they return back to him, they will have compassion upon him, as he said in the scriptures, man. This is according to thus said the Lord, according to scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you done?
Verse 6 of it. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mightest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thy enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecute thee.
So all these curses, so when the kingdom is set up, there's going to be people that's going to have curses on them. It's just that Israel ain't going to have curses on them no more. But their enemies are going to have the same curses that Israel had. What was that? Captivity, slavery, punishment. We can read that also. That's going to take place in the kingdom. You got
yeah,
something?
Yeah, I'll pull out a couple things. Go back to Deuteronomy 28 real quick.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Deuteronomy 28. I want to go into the captivity a little bit more and then speed it up to today's time as far as just to add on to what the brother's bringing out, basically. Deuteronomy 28, read verse, actually, you know what? Yeah, read verse 68. Go right to the point.
Okay.
28:68.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 68.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By the way of I speak unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you.
So, in this verse right here we're reading right now, was this or was this not part of the curses?
Yeah.
It was part of the curses of the children of Israel. We read, remember earlier, I read verse 15, Deuteronomy 28:15, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So, this was a curse that happened to the children of Israel. This was a sign that who the children of Israel were.
Yeah.
All right? And when you read the top of 68, it says, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. So a lot of people are thinking, what, we're going to go back into Egypt again? So I want to go to a couple of scriptures just to prove to you, because a lot of people don't really understand what it is to go back into Egypt again. You want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, when you talk about, and you shall be sold unto your enemies for bond men and bond women, and no man shall buy you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if obviously if the scriptures say you're going to be sold,
you're going to be sold.
Meaning people are buying you.
Exactly.
So the buy right there don't mean that you're not going to be bought. Buy, as we know in modern English term, but it's talking about that we're not going to be delivered from our situation, which we're not being delivered out of our situation, because all these political leaders that are people that's coming up to speak for our people, they're not bringing us out of our condition and bringing us back to Christ, but they're really bringing us under the philosophies of the world and keeping us in the same predicament that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't see the killing stopping. You don't see the hatred and all the things that's wrong with us as a people going away. We don't see us being put back in our government, being put back in our land, being put back in the place where the Most High had set up for us to be originally.
Mm-hmm. No man shall buy you. Like you said, no man ain't going to stop what's going to take place.
Exactly.
You know, you're going to go into captivity. Was any of us stopped? Did this not take place? Did we not go into slavery? We went to slavery, so no one stopped it from happening, and it took place. Go to Hosea, the book of Hosea, real quick. All right.
Hosea.
Right. Go to that book and go to chapter 8. We're going to go to chapter 8 and read verse 13 and 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hosea 8 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
You sacrifice flesh for the sacrifice of my offerings and eat it, but the Lord accept them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt.
Stop there. So, when you read the scripture, you see, because even in the time of Isaiah, when you read the first chapter of Isaiah, how they had the feast days, the high holy days, and they had feasts and they burnt offerings, but the Lord didn't accept their offerings.
Yeah.
Because of the sins that they were committing. So it's the same thing as the curses that was put upon us because we did not listen, you know, according to the law, statutes, and his commandments. So you're not listening to our prayers, our supplications, and taking our offerings.
Yeah, we're just going through the motions.
You're just going through the motions, but yet the Most High is not. Just like the scriptures say, the Most High, his ears are open to sinners.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Their prayers, they're not reaching the Most High. He's not even listening. He got his back turned on you and his ears, you know, closed. You know what I mean? He's not hearing your prayers. So it's the same thing with the sacrifices, the things that you're doing in vain and you're committing sins. You know, he's not hearing you. All right? Now, in the latter part of it, they shall return to Egypt. So does that mean they're going to return to the land because of they committing these sins? We're going to bring that out.
Meaning they're going to return back to bondage.
Exactly. But we're going to let the Bible speak and bring it out.
Okay.
But read verse 14.
For Israel has forgotten his maker and built temples.
Stop there. And even at this time now, Israel don't even know that they're Israel. Israel, even when they know they're Israel, like we got some of these black Hebrew Israelite groups out here. Okay, you guys know you Israel, but still you teaching that you can rape kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You teaching, all you teaching is nationality, but you ain't even teaching repentance.
Yeah, because if you don't have repentance, you ain't got nothing.
Yeah, so you know different. You forgot who your maker is. So I don't even care if you identify yourself as the Israelites, but you're not acting like an Israelite as one inwardly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because when you look at it, when they got cast out of their land, didn't they know they were Israel?
Mm-hmm.
So knowing you Israel didn't save you then.
Sure didn't.
So you think knowing you Israel is going to save you now?
That's why it's real comical. Read verse 14.
For Israel has forgotten his maker and built temples.
Are they not building temples now, just like they worship of the sun god?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man. These churches set up, so-called Christian churches set up, and they worship on Sunday. That's a temple that's being built in honor of the sun god. This is not towards the children of the Israel, towards the maker.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was towards the maker, they would be keeping the high holy days in spirit and in truth, and they wouldn't be disregarding those days and adding new days. Okay? And it wouldn't be okay for a man to marry a man and for a woman to marry a woman according to the maker of Israel. That wouldn't be so. Because in these temples that we see today, they're set up in honor of a different god and not the true maker. But read on.
For Israel has forgotten his maker and built temples.
Mm-hmm.
And Judah has multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof.
Just like you said earlier about, you know, because we understand that back in the Assyria Empire, when they took over Israel, the northern kingdom, the Babylonian Empire, when they came in on the southern kingdom of Israel, from the, you know, the Assyrian, the Babylonian, you know, you got the Persian Medes, you got the Greeks, you got the Romans. Back to what you said earlier about 70 AD with Vespasian and Titus.
Mm-hmm.
They were fenced cities. It was, you know what I mean? They felt as though they were secure, but the Most High said he will send a fire upon the cities and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Jump to Hosea chapter 11. All right. And read verse 1 all the way down to 5.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
When Israel was a child, then I loved him.
So when Israel was a child and he loved them because of the commandments that he gave to them at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
He loved them until they started breaking them, right?
Yeah.
But watch. Let's read on.
And called my son out of Egypt.
Yeah, because it's referring to when Moses delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Read on.
As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Baalim,
mm-hmm,
and burnt incense to graven images.
Read on.
I taught Ephraim also.
Actually, jump down. Jump down to verse 5. Go right to the point.
He shall not return into the land of Egypt.
Stop there. He shall not return into the land of Egypt. Read on.
But the Assyrians shall be his king. Because they refused to return.
So, my point is, it wasn't that the bondage that they were going to be under was going to the land of Egypt to go into bondage, but they were going to get ready to go under the Assyrian Empire to go under their captivity and their slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So even when we go all the way back now, what we got to understand is that when he said you're going to return to Egypt again, meaning you're going to go into captivity again,
mm-hmm,
under another rulership, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going back to Egypt again. But see, this is the history that our people haven't been taught.
Exactly.
That the Israelites that were at that particular time were the blacks and the so-called Latinos that were brought here, whatever the case may be, to the Americas in the four corners of the earth that we went into captivity under. It wasn't that we was put on ships and then went right back into Egypt again, went to captivity. Mm-hmm. No, it's just proving that we went under other rulerships or other nations that the Most High sent against us because we disobeyed His law, statutes, and His commandments.
You know, when we read the Bible and read the history of the scriptures, we see that the Israelites, every time they would turn from the commandments of the Most High, He would raise up a nation,
mm-hmm,
to bring them down.
Mm-hmm.
We read about the Egyptian captivity, then they came out of that, and they had other Egyptian captivities where the Egyptians came and conquered. The Syrians came in and conquered and enslaved them.
Yeah.
They went back home. They started sinning again. Mm-hmm. The Babylonians came up, conquered them. They went back home. They started sinning again. They fell underneath
Persian and Medes.
Medo-Persian Empire let them go home after the Babylonian Empire. Then they went under the Greeks. The Greeks started conquering them. Antiochus Epiphanes was putting hell on them until the Mattathias and the Maccabees rose up and gave them the Most High rose them up to give them a little break.
Mm-hmm.
They started getting wicked again. They fell into the Roman Empire.
Check that out, son, to the time.
Then Christ told them, look, you going into captivity? After I die, we read in Luke 21 when Christ was telling us that we were going to go into captivity. But then we in this world now, we open up our eyes and we know the history of so-called African Americans and those of Indian descent being in slavery throughout this world.
Mm-hmm.
People's like, nah, they just a bunch of niggas. The Jews that's running this world right now, those are the real Jews. Those dudes ain't the Israelites. And the Bible's prophesizing that on the second coming of Christ that Israel is going to be finally delivered from the hands of their enemies, but yet people are not putting two to two together. We're just a bunch of dumb niggas as far as they consider.
Yeah, but the sad part is, too, brother, is that there's going to be no other captivity.
Exactly.
This is the last captivity.
This is it.
So this is where you have to repent and understand now that the message is going out to repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Understand what this is saying. You can't be playing around with this gospel and think you can serve Buddha, think you can serve the Muslims, think you can serve, you know what I'm saying, the Christian church with the sun worship and play around with this. You need to dig into your Bible and study and see what the Word of God is saying, because this is the last captivity. You have to return now. Like we got the show that's coming out on Thursday. You got to awaken.
Yeah, it's time to awaken.
It's time to awake, or you, in so many words, you already know, you're not going to make it.
Yeah, because after this, it's death.
That's it.
If you don't repent and come back to the Most High, it's judgment, and after judgment, it's death. You know, so
I want to bring out a couple of scriptures. We only got a little bit of time.
All right.
It's like a lot I want to really go to, but you know what? Let's go to Psalms 147 and 19 real quick.
No, that's a good one. Yeah.
All right, let's deal with this, and then we're going to go right. We ain't even going to play around. We're going to try to hit Romans 9, and we're going to try to hit Hebrews real quick.
We're going to try to hit that real quick, too.
All right. But go to Psalms 147 real quick and read verse 19 and 20. Psalms 147:19-20. Did I say that? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Psalms 147:19.
Uh-huh.
He showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel.
So what is his word?
The Bible.
The Bible. The words that coming out of the Most High God, his word is the Bible that we have today. All right? He showed his word, the Bible, unto Jacob, and his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. All right, Israel still referring to Jacob. Jacob's name was changed into Israel, talking about the Israelites.
Yeah, read on. Verse 20, mm-hmm. He has not dealt so with any nation.
So no other nation has this Bible. That's mm-hmm. the bottom line. This Bible wasn't written to the other nations. This letter was written. Yo, listen, man. Mm-hmm. My name is David. That's my name. In the Hebrew name, Dawiyad, but David is my name. My father named me David. If my father writes me a letter, on the letter it's going to be who is going to be sent to.
Mm-hmm.
David. It's not sent to Sally. It's not sent to John. It's sent to David. So this letter that's written is to who? Israel. So only Israel could open up this and read this, because this is who it's sent to.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Read verse 20.
He has not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise be the Lord.
So the judgments were only given to the children of Israel, period. No other people have received this, right?
Can I back that up real
yeah,
quick?
Sure.
I want to back it up in the New Testament, because a lot of people
mm-hmm.
Romans the 9th chapter.
Yeah, let's go to
Romans
it.
9 and 4. Yeah. Let me read it real quick.
I'll read it. Romans chapter 9, verse 4, and it reads, who are the Israelites? To whom pertain the adoption?
The word pertain means belong. The adoption belonged to Israel, because see, Israel was cast off from being the God's people.
Mm-hmm.
But through Christ, they were adopted back as his people. That belonged to Israel. That being adopted as the sons of the living God doesn't pertain to any other nation but Israel.
Exactly. Who are the Israelites to whom pertain the adoption? Okay? And the glory and the covenant.
Covenants with an S, meaning the Old Testament, New Testament, Old Covenant, New Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
That pertains to or belong to Israel. And the New Covenant is established through Christ. So it's showing you that Christ coming and dying belongs to Israel. And it's going to even mention that. All right, we know?
And the giving of the law.
The giving of the law, we know that.
We just read it.
Yeah.
We just read it in Psalms 147, 19, and 20. Who received the laws of God? It was the Israelites. All right? In the service of God.
Meaning to be his ministers, his teachers, his prophets. Israel, that belongs to them. That pertains to them.
No other nation could teach the word of God. Why? Because it was never given to them in the first place. So you ain't even supposed to be dibbing and dabbing in this and teaching anything.
Exactly.
Because you're not the child of God to even teach of God. And the promises.
The promises, the kingdom.
The inheritance.
Eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
That was promised to Israel. That pertained to Israel. And this is in the New Testament.
Exactly.
Read on.
Well, I want to deal with adoption and covenants real quick. You want to... How far are you going to go down?
I was just going to read verse 5.
Verse 5. Who are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came?
So it's telling you right there, Christ came for who?
The children of Israel.
The children of Israel.
It's plain as day. It's plain as day.
Who is over all, God bless forever, amen.
Mm-hmm. go to Romans 8 and 15. We'll deal with the adoption real quick. All
right, Romans 8 and 15.
Yeah, read that, Romans 8 and 15. After reading, we just finished reading Romans 9 and explained it. Now read Romans 8 and 15.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Read the next one.
The spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
All right. Now, when you look at all that after reading Romans 9,
mm-hmm.
All right, what you see is now mercy has been granted, you know, to you to repent.
Exactly.
All right? Now the adoption of Jesus Christ has been given to you. You've been adopted. But you are an Israelite that's being adopted. Why? Because you didn't even know you was an Israelite in the first place.
Exactly.
You didn't even know this was even granted and opened up to you by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the next scriptures say, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You are a child of God.
Exactly.
Because now you understand the word of God, and it was granted, and when Christ died for you and your sins and his blood was shed, it opened up to you. Now you're being adopted into what was given to you, because guess what? You was a foreigner to this. You didn't even know you was part of family.
Exactly.
But now you're being adopted right back where you belong.
Exactly. That's what it talks about in Ephesians, about the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. They were foreign from the commonwealth of Israel.
Exactly.
But those Gentiles were Israelites that was being raised, just like we were raised as Gentiles.
Exactly.
Under these laws and commandments of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we found out about Christ, we repented and became sons of God.
Now I want to deal with the covenant real quick. Let's go to Hebrews 8 and 8, like we always do.
All right, good.
Let's read that real quick, Hebrews 8 and 8. People still non-believers out there don't believe that we, the Israelites, we the ones that received the covenants, like you said, plural with an S.
Yeah.
The covenants is plural. The first covenant that was given to us, right, was when we received the animals, the sacrifices of the animals, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, to be forgiven for our sins and all that. That was part of that first covenant.
Exactly.
You know, now here comes the second covenant, right? Now let's read Hebrews 8 and 8, brother.
And a lot of people claim that, well, the Israelites, because they didn't accept Christ, they lost that covenant.
Yeah, well, okay. But we might have enough time for me to jump into a couple more scriptures on that.
Let's see what this brings it out right here.
Yeah, Hebrews 8 and 8.
For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
So this new covenant was Jesus Christ.
And okay. Is he for the whole world?
No. He's for the two houses he just mentioned, the house of Judah and the house of Israel, right? This is the only reason why Christ came in the first place. And that new covenant is to bring Israel back, okay, to where we're supposed to be. Because guess what? Israel is going to receive the kingdom, whether you like it or not. If you can handle the truth or not, it's too bad. Because guess what? Israel is going to obtain, or in other words, inherit all the promises that was given to our forefathers.
Mm-hmm.
We're the children of Israel. So we're going to receive the promises that was granted to us.
And the scriptures tell us, too, we read in Deuteronomy 30 that the curses are going to be put on the other nations.
Mm-hmm.
So it showed because you know, the Christian world teaches that there's going to be people coming out of every nation that's going to set up the kingdom of heaven, and all the wicked people are going to die. Then who the curse is going to go on?
Yeah.
And who's going to be the ones that's in captivity? Because the scriptures talk about the other nations are going to go into captivity.
And Israel is never going to have to work again. And so who's going to be doing the work for us? You know?
Yeah.
Like, people are thinking, you know what, let me go to the scripture.
In fact, I got one too.
Let me go to the scripture real quick.
Man. I'm going
to
pull out Revelation, the second chapter.
Yeah, but before you go to that, don't even go to that yet. Wait a minute. We got enough time.
All right.
I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 4. And I got to go to this scripture in the Apocrypha, man. I have to, because these people were bugged up. Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, right? A lot of people don't understand that the Most High God got his own people.
We're going to finish in...
yeah, we're going to go back to that if we have no time. Go to Exodus chapter 4, read verse 22 for me real quick.
Exodus 4:22.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus said the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn.
Now check this out. Israel is his son, even his firstborn. Period. Now read the next verse.
And I say unto thee, let my son go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn.
So a lot of people don't even realize why the firstborn was killed in the first place in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what we're reading here. He's saying Israel is my firstborn, right? Mm-hmm. Right? So he's saying the reason why I'm going to kill your firstborn, because you don't want to let my firstborn go. You see what I'm saying? And his firstborn is still here today, and he's still bringing his firstborn back into his land. Because there ain't going to be no secondborn. You feel what I'm saying? We're his only begotten. And I just want to prove that real quick. We got to go to Apocrypha on that, the way it's worded, right? Go to 2nd Esdras in the Apocrypha and go to chapter 6 real quick. I believe it's in chapter 6.
Yeah.
All right.
Was 6:54?
But we don't want to read the whole thing like that. We ain't got time. So what I want to do is get right to the point. But,
58?
Yeah. But you know what? You might have to read it. Could you read it real fast, man?
I'll read 57 if you want.
Is it going to mention Israel? No, we got to have it.
All right, I'll start at 54.
Yeah, just read it. Go ahead.
And after these, Adam also, whom thou made Lord of all thy creatures, of him come we all, and the people also whom thou hast chosen. All this have I spoken before thee, O Lord, because thou madest the world for our sake.
So he made the world for the Israel. And the people also whom thou hast chosen, we all know, is talking about the children of Israel.
Yeah, that's who he chosen out of all people.
Okay.
And when it says, all this have I spoken before thee, O Lord, because thou madest the world for our sakes, it's talking about for the Israelite sakes.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 56, as for the other people, which also come of Adam.
So there's another people that came out of Adam.
All other people.
Yeah, all people, all the heathen. Because
yeah.
All the people besides Israel were called heathen or Gentiles.
Yeah.
So those people... Okay, read on.
As for the other people which also come of Adam, thou hast said that they are nothing,
mm-hmm.
but be like unto spittle,
mm-hmm.
and liken the abundance of them unto a drop that falleth from a vessel.
Really?
So he's saying they're nothing but like spit, and he liken mean the abundance of them mean all of them, they're like a drop that fall out of a bucket. If you carry a bucket of water, they're like a drop that fall out of the bucket of water.
Exactly.
Verse 57, and now, O Lord, behold, these heathens.
So he called them heathens. It's showing you that these other people outside the chosen people, which Isaiah 44:1 explains who the chosen people are the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
All right, these other people are called heathens. He's letting us know right here. Read on.
And now, O Lord, behold, these heathens, which have ever been reputed as nothing, have begun to be lords over us and to devour us.
That's why we're in captivity right now, right?
Yep.
But, well, it don't explain why they're in captivity, but from everything we explained earlier, we're in captivity because of the curses, because we disobeyed his word. This is why these heathen that are nothing are over us.
Exactly.
Read on.
But we thy people.
We who?
We thy people.
Read.
Whom thou hast called thy firstborn.
We just finished reading, and who's the firstborn we just read in Exodus 4:22.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelites is the firstborn. Read on.
But we thy people, whom thou hast called thy firstborn and thy only begotten.
Thy only begotten, because there ain't going to be no other people that's going to be begotten. We are the only children of God, are the children of Israel. Read on.
And thy favorite lover are given into their hands.
See, we're his fervent lover, we're his only begotten, and we are given to the hands of our enemies, the heathen.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
So these people out there got to get an understanding on why we in the position we are.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 59, because we only got a minute. Read verse 59.
If the world now be made for our sakes, why do we not possess an inheritance with the world? How long shall this endure?
Well, we understand from what we read all day. The reason why it's going to endure is because of our disobedience.
Exactly.
And when the Most High is going to deliver us is when he's going to deliver us, not when we want to be delivered.
What we got to worry about is getting ourselves right so we can be delivered.
And repent.
Worrying about repenting and walking upright.
You want to talk real quick, or you want me to end it with a scripture?
Yeah, this is Revelations. I want to finish in Hebrews, but I'm going to read Revelations real quick. This is Revelations 2.
26.
And 26.
And it came, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end.
So when it says he that overcome, mean that we have to overcome the battles that we have to fight in our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He that overcome and keepeth his word unto the end, mean we repent and we keep the Most High's commandments until Christ returns.
Mm-hmm.
Not for a year or two or 3 years, but until Christ returns, read on.
To him will I give power over the nations.
So we're going to be ruling over other nations.
The other people.
Why is that not being taught?
Because.
So we that were in slavery are going to be given power, and we're going to be ruling over the other nations. Read on.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my father.
So these other nations you hear them talking about, you know, they talking junk.
Mm-hmm.
But the time is going to come where the Most High is going to raise us back up. And as rulers and kings and princes of this world,
yeah.
He that overcome and keep his word till the end. All right, you want to go back to Hebrews 8 and finish it up in there, or you got something else?
No, we basically done, really.
All right, Hebrews 8, and we're going to read 8 and 9 again.
8 and 8, you
mean? Yeah, 8 and 8 down to 9. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them from out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regard them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So we're going to have to keep the laws. You see that? We're still going to have to keep the commandments. He's going to write them in our hearts. And in the kingdom of heaven, we will be keeping the commandments of the Most High. We're going to start. We start right now to keep the commandments in order to make it into the kingdom. So we give all praises to the Most High through Christ for the understanding. And all praises to the Most High. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show. And we hope you receive some edification. And shalom.
Shalom.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U, followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thebocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thebocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.